Give a nigga rope want to be a cowboy, guys.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza kick
radio. Anyone listening? Listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black G, holla.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole. Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. It's Thursday, October 13th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's up, Eric?
Yo, what up, Jay?
Chillin', man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Some shows have happened. Obviously, we got our football talk as well. But they got we got Raw to go down. CCW had their show. I didn't attend, so I can't really review it. I mean, I could go over the results, but I'm gonna wait to see it to really review it. But I have a bunch of shit to talk about. TNA on mute on my screen, and that's about the best I could do for them. But I don't know, maybe you should switch it up and go into Raw first. I don't know.
It's up to you. What you want to do?
Figure we'll start out with some wrestling talk. That way people remember it's a wrestling show. We'll do our good amount of NFL talk as well. But.
Yeah. How about the people that always say, oh, this is a wrestling show. Why are you talking about other things?
I know. It's silly. What can we do? I don't know, man. Kind of like a wide open, forum. You could pretty much talk about whatever. But, all right. Did you watch Raw or?
I watched bits and pieces of Raw and I was fucking confused as shit.
Yeah, I think that's what they strived for this week. The previous week it had, everybody walked out and everything like that. So, unless you paid, close attention, you'd think, oh, God, they're not going to have a show. Well, I mean, a couple of the big faces and a couple of the big faces weren't part of that walkout. So it was like, all right, great. We got, four people or something. They started out the show. And, one thing after another, Triple H saying, no one's here, I'll wrestle a broomstick, and the broomstick's a better wrestler than half of the people in the parking lot. I thought that line was pretty funny and pretty true. But in the same token, I wouldn't speak volumes of Triple H's wrestling ability, but either way.
Over a broomstick, though? Come on.
Well, I mean,
No, come on. That. No, that's not – that's – No, he's definitely better than a broomstick. Or is he?
I don't know. We could have like a NXT tournament for that shit or something. Anyway.
They should do that shit. They should do that shit every week.
So one person after another, John Cena, CM Punk, Sheamus, all came out and, you know, cut their promos and why that they're still backing Triple H and why, you know, they're still here and this is it and it doesn't matter what everybody else wants. So Triple H says, all right, then I guess we have a show. Like, which, you know, obviously people are going to expect more than one match. So I was kind of looking to see where this was going to go. So he's like, all right, there's no commentators. You go on commentary, CM Punk. And, you know, Cena and Sheamus, you guys will wrestle, and then I'll rep it. So they did that for a little bit. And then, you know, Vince McMahon's music hits, which was very, very, you know, predictable. I really, really expected Vince McMahon to pop up any minute, and that happened. You know, they've been doing this Johnny Ace thing for a while, so obviously, you know, this was the direction they were going. Vince tells Triple H, you know, same type of thing. Board of directors says that you got to go, and then, well, Johnny Ace is going to take over temporarily as the interim GM or whatever. So they do that, and, you know, Johnny Ace just looks like a fucking mannequin. Like, he stands there with all of zero emotion to his face, and he looks like a fucking mannequin. So, you know, he does that, and now he starts making all these silly matches, and, you know, it's funny how, like, they did the whole thing, everybody walked out previous week, and then once they kicked it back in and everybody comes walking in the door, they launched probably the biggest heel jumpings, like, in a long time. God, I don't feel safe. They reinstated Miz and R-Truth. They have Christian, Ziggler, Swagger, Rhodes jumping in and just destroying everybody. So it's really kind of crazy how it's like, we don't feel safe. Okay, we're safe now. Let's jump these motherfuckers. Like, it just seems like a wild direction. It's a real wild direction.
As soon as I seen that, Jay, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? I was like, what the fuck are they doing with Ace? Like, what the whose idea was it to... Like, whose idea was it to bring Johnny Ace in a talking role? Like, if it was Vince McMahon, fuck you. If it was Triple H, fuck you. Stephanie, fuck you. Shane, fuck you.
Yeah.
The whole crew, Jim Ross, fuck you. Jerry Lawler, you know, I big fuck you to the whole WWE fucking production staff because they fucking suck balls and... Yeah, that's why I really feel.
Right. So, I mean, what they basically did then is, I don't even remember who the initial match was, but Christian, Ziggler, Swagger, and Rhodes beat the shit out of Morrison. I don't know if it even was supposed to be a match, but they took him out. Then Orton is supposed to face Mark Henry. Well, Orton wins by DQ because Cody Rhodes comes in and attacks Orton. So, again, I mean, this is like this big conglomerate of just guys that are just running down on people immediately after the Nobody Feels Safe era. Then up after that, you had Kelly and Eve beat my new vote for the sloppiest females in professional wrestling, and Rosa Mendez and Tamina. They missed so many spots, it was ridiculous. Kelly went for the razzle-dazzle spot, and Tamina came out of the corner instead of staying in the corner, so she pretty much caught like a flipping drop kick to the face, and then... It's still the back elbow somehow. So, I mean, I'll give, you know, Kelly and Eve a tiny bit of credit to make the match not just completely fall apart, but not that much. I mean, honestly, they're not really that good themselves. And, you know, you had the Divas of Destruction, you know, in the back just shaking their head at the monitor, and rightfully so, you know. It wasn't just a heel thing. They had to have seriously been watching that match. Like, fuck, man, this is
horrible.
Not good. Not good at all. Then, you know, they're in Oklahoma, and, you know, Johnny Ace comes out of nowhere. Like, he has business to attend to, and just fires JR. So, I don't know what I don't know what the problem is there. I don't know like what the reason was. I don't know what even went on that was the move. It's like, yeah, you know what? Okay, we're gonna fire that guy. Okay, moving on. And they just, you know, went on from that. It's like, all right. Then you had Air Boom and Mason Ryan, who, again, I don't understand why he's a face at all. And then they beat Swagger, Ziggler, and Otunga.
Wow.
I don't even think Otunga tagged in this match. Like, I could have missed it because I was kind of, like, really, like, having a hard time paying attention while I was watching it, you know, on the DVR and stuff. And I didn't fast forward through the match. I did watch it, but I honestly don't remember Otunga ever tagging in. I don't know, man. Man, one part of this match that you got to see if you didn't see was Swagger hit a fucking power bomb on Evan Bourne, where Evan Bourne had, like, he was pretty much kneeling on Swagger's shoulders, and Swagger powerbombed him off of that.
Wow.
It was incredible, dude. It looked like he was like 15 feet in the air and just got powerbombed. It was pretty awesome. But, you know, I mean, there's some pluses in that match. I mean, you know, Air Boom versus Swagger, this is Swagger, Swagger and Ziggler, could be really good as, you know, like a good run on matches. Cause you know, I don't see why not. I mean, they're all talented athletes. Otunga, I don't feel has any place in the company at all, and he's getting a huge push now. He's like a lawyer, so that's great. It's just great. So impressed. And then you had it was supposed to be CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio. Now then, just I don't know, 5-10 minutes into the match, Johnny Ace walks down and goes, "All right, stop the match. I've had enough. Now you guys are a team." And then I'm bringing back Miz and R-Truth, and you guys can fight now. Okay, ding, ring the bell. So they do that, which is completely awkward. It's like, you're a heel, you're a face, now you're a team. I'm bringing back the heels to fight the heel and the face, and okay, ring the bell. It's like, what? So then, you know, partially through the match, they got, you know, where Del Rio kind of acted as if he was hurt or whatever, and just pretty much took his shit and went home and was like, you know, okay, I don't need this. And he just left. Yeah. So CM Punk was, you know, in like a 2-on-1 situation. And he was battling back for a while. And, you know, he was hitting some good little combo spots and battling back. But, of course, the two guys are going to, you know, get advantage, and they took him out. So, you know, they get the pin and all of that stuff. And then Triple H comes down and, like, you know, clears house and fucking big right hands and all of that nonsense. And now it's like, oh, okay, well, it's going to be Triple H and CM Punk versus Miz and Truth at whatever the fucking pay-per-view that's coming up is. What? I don't get it. Why does Triple H have to be involved with any, you know, main storyline possible? He just has to. Like, he has, like, yeah, it hurts his stomach if he sees other people in the main event but himself. And that's for one. And for two, it's just like, right before they did that whole, you know, invasion thing where they got locked up and all that and got fired, the Miz and Truth, they lost clean to Air Boom at a pay-per-view, or a Raw, one of the two. I remember them losing clean to them. So
yeah.
And we're going to say, okay, the tag team champions, yeah, they beat them. What's going to happen when the super fired up, never likes to not go over, you know, Triple H teams up with CM Punk, who's super over, and what's going to happen there? Like, what do you think is going to happen there? Either heel tactics that lead to their win, or obviously Triple H going over as he does 90% of the year. I don't know. I just think it's a crazy, crazy way to go about things.
Yeah, fucking sounds terrible. Once again, I'm not watching that stupid pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't foresee too much of that in my future. I think it's kind of funny. I got the spoilers for SmackDown for this Friday,
right.
And I'll run down them real quick. Just, you know, what stands out. They had
spoiler alert. If you if you want to watch the interview, close your ears at this point.
All right. Well, what they did is they did they started the show with a 41-man battle royal, and the winner of that would get a title shot of his choice. So, 41 guys, could it be anybody but, you know, one of the people already main eventing? No. Randy Orton wins. He chooses to challenge Mark Henry on that show. So, then they do, now it's Beth versus Kelly, non-title, Beth wins. Can't review the matches because I haven't seen them. I'm just going over. But next up, this I found really funny. The Black Sin Cara beat Justin Gabriel, but before the match, the Black Sin Cara attacked the Blue Sin Cara and took the Blue Sin Cara's mask and wore the Blue Sin Cara's mask during the match and then still won, but it's still the Black Sin Cara. So there's a lot of colors going on here. Yes. Well, the Black Sin Cara had a match, but he decided to jump the blue one before the match, take the blue guy's mask, wear that to the match, but still win as the black one in a blue mask. You know? You following me? All right. yep, that's what happened. That's what happened. This Sin Cara thing is getting tricky.
It's getting tricky. I hope they bring in a third of Sin Cara. Maybe kind of in the fucking red, you know? And they're fucking, we don't know who the fuck is, you know? We have no idea. Maybe it'll be somebody else. Maybe it'll be, I don't know, Rey Mysterio?
I don't know. Well, then they had Del Rio beat Sheamus. After the match, Christian attacked Sheamus. Then they had...
Is this Raw or is this SmackDown?
No, this is SmackDown.
What was the main event for Raw?
The main event for Raw was the CM Punk versus Del Rio that got turned into Miz and Truth versus Punk and Del Rio.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. And then for whatever reason, they did Kofi Kingston and Zack Ryder beating Ziggler and Swagger. Don't know what the fuck happened there.
Who the hell knows what happens any week?
No, I know. Then you had their main event was Randy Orton winning by DQ when Cody Rhodes interferes. So, again, there is more interference than I've seen in a long, long time. pretty much every match. Immediately following them saying, nobody feels safe. There's no control. Everybody's running in. We're walking out. And they're like, oh, the Johnny Laryngitis is fucking boss. He feels safe
Johnny
now.
Laryngitis.
And now everybody runs in. So
it's
strange. It's really strange. Don't really get it, but, I mean, what can you
do? I don't understand the booking. I hope WWE's listening to the show right now. I hope you are, Vince. You're fucking out of your mind. You're out of your mind, Vince. Out of your mind.
That would be the strangest thing in the world if Vince McMahon actually plugged his iPod in once a week and listened to Yakuza Kick Radio or sat next to his computer. It would do so much more than surprise me. It'd be pretty.
It would fucking mind. Yeah, he's probably like, damn fucking J-Cat, damn Eric,
damn these nobodies that don't make as much as I spend on coffee in a week. Jesus. hey, what's up, Brent Maddie?
Yeah, what up, Brent?
So, that's more or less the WWE stuff. going off of that.
Where the fuck is Juan at?
I don't know. Let's talk, shoot interviews real quick.
Okay.
I watched, September 16th, we had Joker on. And he came out with his shoot interview, best of. Everybody check it out, smartmarkvideo.com. I'm still waiting to get that. I'm going to have to wait till November when I go to the next CZW show to pick that up. And, I'm going to do that. And seems like a really good, you know, interview from like the previews they show you. And then another one that came out at the same time that I did get a chance to see, and I think Eric did too, is Justice Payne. And for those who don't know, we did a about 2.5 hour Justice Payne interview back November 19th of last year. And if you want to go check that out, I mean, I think you'll be pretty happy with it. And a really good companion piece. I mean, we go over some of the same things, but you also hear different opinions and stuff like that out of us. And we went really long form on that one, now 2.5 hours. So
yeah, that
check
was
out
a pain
that,
in the air. Yeah, I wonder how much a pain in the ass fucking it's a smart mark to get Justice Payne. And I'll be willing
sure.
to bet you, Jay, I'll be willing to bet you that us doing that shoot, because they did that shit in June of 2011. They did that shit June 16th, 2011. We
right.
did that shit back in November. I'm willing to bet it took them from November, whatever our show was, the day after, to June 14th to get Justice Payne to agree to do a fucking audio. I'll do a fucking...
Well, no, I'm sure money was something that came in with them. I'm sure he got paid for it, and I'm sure he had a lot more willingness to do it with them. And again, yeah, I thank him for doing it with us, because it was a little bit of a pain in the ass. He was kind of a hard guest to get, hard guy to, you know, get in touch with and all of that. But we finally got him. We got 2.5 hours out of the guy. I couldn't be happier with how it went down. And, yeah, man. I believe we had it in November. So anyway, that was good shit. He went over a lot of things in the shoot interview that we didn't get to. There's some things in the shoot interview that they didn't get to that we did. So it's, like I said, it's good to listen to both. They put a lot of good matches on that DVD. It couldn't have been November when we had him. Because that was...
We had him... It was before the Gage incident.
No, it wasn't. It was after the Gage incident.
We had him on before because we were talking about Gage possibly moving to Germany. I just listened to the show.
You're
bringing up the fact that him, Rich Swann, and Devin Moore were going to move to Germany.
Yeah, it was November.
Was it Devin or was it Gulak? I know it was Rich Swann.
I think
Gage.
It was Devin they were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, Devin. Yeah, it was definitely. It was like in October, actually. Because it was right after the baseball season was over with. Because I remember you fucking got him fired up with that baseball comment. You're like, oh,
yeah,
I won't even do the show then. It had to have been November. I think you're right with that November date.
I actually checked the date before the show, so I do know that. And, but, you know, was second-guessing me and stuff like that. What had happened is I sent, you know, Payne a message after the thing happened, after what Gage happened, and he sent me, like, a pretty descriptive, like, what was going on, you know, personally with him afterwards. So somewhere,
okay.
like, in my mind, I kind of combined the two and said that we went over that, but we didn't. So, yeah, that's definitely what happened. But anyway, check that shit out. There's a lot of things that stood out in that. Man, some of that word association was ballistic, you know what I mean? they were really ripping into people. And yeah, thanks, Brent. Another guy, unless you got anything else to say about that one.
No. I mean, it was good overall.
Okay.
You know, check
okay.
it out.
Another one that just came out this week is part 2 and 3 of Drake Younger's shoot/best of DVDs. And breaking news here that I don't even think my co-host knows, but next week we will have Drake Younger on, and he will be with us next week.
Yeah. Thanks for telling
we
me.
We haven't talked much this week, dude. So
yeah.
On the show. Big surprise for everybody involved, including the other host. You know, Drake's coming on next week. We have a bunch of topics that weren't even covered in this shoot, like that happened after that shoot. He's been doing a lot of big things, and, you know, he's had a kid, and, you know, we had him on just real quick last week, just, you know, bullshit. He kind of called in on a surprise thing. So we touched base after that, and we worked up a date, and next week is it. So you will all get Drake Younger next week.
Hopefully he's not at work. Hopefully he's not at work.
No. We scheduled it. He's off next week. He was actually working this week, and he gave me the option of this week or next week, and he said, I'm working this week. I might need to put you guys on hold, which wouldn't be that cool, but next week would even be even better. So when it comes down to it, it all worked out. The next week was going to be the move. So that's what we're doing. Everybody has that to look forward to, including myself. And
Have you listened to part three, or what was it, part two or part three?
What's that?
Of the Drake. What part
no,
of it?
No, they just came out on Smart Mark this week. Again, I'm going to have to wait till November when I go to the CZW show. And he actually put out a part two, Psycho Shooter to Golden Boy, Drake Younger, and part three. I think two and three are just like the follow-up to the initial Psycho Shooter Best Of DVD they did.
Okay.
From what I could see on there. And they turned it into a two-part, you know, so you guys are going to have to buy two DVDs. But, I mean, you're talking a lot of matches. Germany stuff, Japan stuff, like just crazy stuff.
Okay, so there's a lot of matches. That's why it's...
I believe
okay.
Japan stuff. I just said Japan stuff, and I'm not actually really sure on that. But I know you get, like, his, you know, his match with Generico, WXW. You get a lot of stuff. Also, King of the Deathmatch just came out on DVD as well. So that's another thing I'm looking forward to see. I got a lot of things to pick up. So, everybody,
Have you watched those DVDs that I gave you?
No, I have not.
Are they still in the car?
Hmm? What was that?
I said, are they still in the car?
They may be. They're in such a compact little case, man. They're easy to sit in there.
Yeah.
I'll just bring my portable DVD player to the CZW show in November, and that way I can watch them on the way. They're already in the car.
Word.
So that'll be good. What else is going on? We only got a half hour into the show. Christ's sake.
Not bad. We'll do a comedy hour. Oh, by the way, I don't know. We haven't talked since last Thursday.
Right.
Has Reggie sent you a message at all?
Reggie? Oh, it's funny. Reggie, I went on my PlayStation to play Madden the other day.
Oh, boy.
And
I know what this is.
Reggie just uses his PlayStation as like an IM, like a messenger. Like, he doesn't use it as a video game system. Because he originally requested me on the, you know, the PlayStation Network and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, dude, what games you got? You know, hopefully I get together with you, you know, play some games with you. You know, you got Madden? Nope. You got this? Nope. You got this? Nope. Like, he's got, like three, like, $9.99 bin games that are, like, from when the PlayStation first came out. And he only got the PlayStation, like, maybe a year ago tops. So, like, he got some old bootleg games, and then he's got nothing. He just signs on and just, like, messages people on there and shit. So it was pretty funny. He's like, and... Hey, I just signed on to play Madden. I got like a game loading up and stuff, and I'm about to play. And all of a sudden, it's like, "Hey, I want to come back on your show." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Yeah, in like December or something, do another one." And I'm like, "All right, man, no problem." So, you know, we'll see. I mean, we have all sorts of things going on. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, he sent me that. He sent me a message. Can I come on your show in December? I'm like, yo, Dr. J. My God, Dr. J about
yeah.
it.
Then he
He's
probably
like,
had
oh,
his.
Okay.
Probably had his PlayStation on at the time. Figured that. Shoot him a line.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen. And, you know.
You ain't going to stop me.
Oh, boy. Is he on there now? Oh,
No. It's just a little message I got from him, you know?
I guess
so,
that was, you fucking hung up on him real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you never know when Reggie's going to pop up. He's kind of that guy, man. You never know what to expect out of that guy. So anyway, you happened to attend an event.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Do you want to give us the rundown on this event and everything?
Yeah. So I attended it was called Hulk Hogan and Friends. It was last Saturday.
Are you one of those friends?
Yeah. I get the money from him. I actually just got fucking electrocuted. Actually shocked.
That's pretty cool. In other news.
I just got electrocuted and got shocked again. Fucking son of a bitch. The phone charge is acting up.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, Hulk Hogan, huh?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. Anyway, it was all right. It was cool.
Who else was there? Who else?
Next week we're gonna have some two audio clips because for some reason my camera decided that it didn't want to upload this week, and I have to fucking put it on YouTube, and I didn't have time this week. It's been fucking rough fucking week for work and shit like that.
Right.
My next week we'll have some audio clips, but it was Hogan, Eric Bischoff, the Nasty Boys, Jerry Sags and Brian Knobbs, XL Jim Duggan, Coco Beware, who else? I think that's it.
No, I believe Brutus the Barber Beefcake and
Greg
Valentine as well.
Yeah, Greg, yeah.
And I wasn't even there.
Yeah, you saw the picture. Well,
yes.
What's your thoughts on the picture? Everybody check out my Facebook, Eric Williams on Facebook. And you get to check out the photo, and Eric Bischoff looks fucking bored out of his
mind. He looks so mad.
He was that way all night. He came out, like, everybody came out, basically how it started was they fucking played Real America, and fucking David Tenzer came out, the former TNA ring announcer, came out, fucking said, welcome, fucking the Hulk Hogan and Friends. Fucking told us set up pretty much that people were, everybody was going to come out, tell one or two stories, and then it was going to be open Q&A. And,
did you get to ask any questions?
I was in line, and they cut off the questions, because fucking, they were at 3 hours. Like, there was mad people in line. Maybe about 60,
oh, wow.
there was two lines. There was one on one end of the fucking place, and there was one on the other end. And there was about 60 people in each line. It was about 350, 400 people in the place. But...
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So, Nasty Boys came out and talked. The first, when they told the stories pretty much how they broke in the business and shit like that, it was real brief, 4 or 5 minutes person. And then Coco came out, fucking told, basically putting over the fans the whole night. They were like, without you guys... we wouldn't be where we're at. We fucking would be nothing. And then he fucking told the emotional story about how Frankie died and fucking,
the bird.
He died in a how he died in a fire, and that his neighbor fucking thought it was Coco's kid that was screaming, that was talking, let me out, but it was really the bird talking, saying, let me out.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Yeah. Like the dog, the fucking bird was in a cage, so that's why didn't do anything. So, then Brutus came out, fucking said how he got in the business and how fucking Hogan helped him out tremendously. And then Eric Bischoff's music hit, and the place fucking erupted with booze. He fucking walks in. It was like a ring. It was like a wrestling ring with no fucking ropes, no fucking turnbuckles. It was like a ring, like a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Like that's how the stage looked. It was like you were at a wrestling show. Like there was all fucking, there's people on all four sides. There was an entranceway.
Oh yeah. So did they turn while they were talking, or did some people just
Bischoff
stare at their
turned
back
fucking,
the entire?
Bischoff was heel when he first came out, and he fucking came out and goes, fucking, he was fucking throwing the fingers up because they were booing, and then he fucking gets on the mic. He goes. You know what? It's funny. He goes, I have to break kayfabe for this thing now. I can't be in character anymore. Or he'll fucking yell at me.
So he pretty much had to break character. he was not in character when doing the thing.
Right.
He pretty much said, yeah, I got to break character to tell these stories. But he said how he got started and how he fucking got hired and how fucking Ted Turner took a big chance on him. And then Hacksaw.
Well, but what I'm saying, though, like, is if there's people on all four sides, a la wrestling ring, right?
Right.
Like, there wasn't just one crowd in front of someone talking. Were they walking back and forth, talking and looking at everybody?
There was people, like the chairs were set up, like, in the corners. Like, there was, like, two for fucking, like, the one. And then they would fucking stand in the middle and they would fucking look around and shit like that. That's how they would talk.
Okay. But they weren't on all four sides, or?
What do you mean?
They weren't on all four sides of this ring? The fans?
Yeah. Oh, the fans were on all four sides. And then there was two wrestlers on one corner. There was two on the other corner, two on another corner, and two in the other corner. And when they would fucking get up, when they would be asked a question, they would just fucking, you know, look around, you know, fucking turn while they're fucking talking and, you know, kind of do promo thing where they would talk to, you know what I mean? So they're doing that shit. All
right.
So, but Hacksaw came out and fucking said how he fucking, you know, how fucking hard training and how fucking he broke into business and, you know, pretty much all that shit. Brutus came out, fucking talked some shit. Greg Valentine came out and fucking said he's been in the business for 38 years. And he fucking, you know, he wonders why he still does it.
I find it fascinating when a guy does, you know, a run in the 80s in, you know, the WWE and does, like, that type of thing. And then, for the most part, does, like, autograph signings and, like, little bullshit, like, knockoff fucking NWA shows where, like, you know, they go in the ring for 15 minutes and they're the main event. And, like, whatever, like, the top trainee and the student, you know, classes, you know, they just job heavily and just take, like, right hands and, like, maybe, like, not so much of a big boot, but, like, a medium-sized boot, like a, you know.
It sounds like an NWS show, National Wrestling Superstars in New Jersey.
Well, this is what I mean. Just, like, any given, like, there's these companies all over the country. There really is. And, like, I'm just saying, like, Greg the Hammer Valentine, like, to say that he's still, he counts all this time from the day he started until here, and, like, he's a steady fucking on the road, never fucking stopped wrestling. I just think that's fucking hilarious to me. You know, it's one thing to, you know, count your WWE run and say, you know, and I still dabble in it. It'd be like, 38 years I've been in the business. No, really? Shit. I didn't know you were alive until you beat fucking, who was it? He beat somebody recently, and it was, like, a big deal. It was for the, Yokozuna thing. It was either for the Yokozuna or another tribute show. And Greg the Hammer Valentine just completely beat them. He was like, fuck, I'm not showing up unless you give me more money. And they were like, well, dude, you know, the flight's booked and all this.
Oh, yeah,
you
that
know.
Was like a charity show. It was like a charity.
Right.
It wasn't Yokozuna.
Right.
It was some other fucking charity show. It wasn't even a wrestler charity show.
No?
Like it was,
I thought it was a wrestler.
Yeah, it was just somebody fucking running like a charity show, like a random charity show, dude.
Right.
Like somewhere
and,
in Indiana or something.
Yeah, they had him paid, they had him ready, they had him all of this, and then all of a sudden he demanded more money and just completely beat them and didn't show up.
Yeah. He's fucking out of shape, though. He's fat as fuck.
He was fat as fuck when he was in the ring. But anyway,
yeah.
So, like, it's just, it's crazy to me, like, when you get, like, guys like that, and, like, this is, like, cats wouldn't even know you were alive unless other wrestlers were calling you out on your fucking morals. And then you're like, oh, that guy's still around? Oh, that's strange. And then, you know, next thing you know, 38 years I've been grinding and hustling. Really? I mean, Jesus Christ. You know?
And they all talk like they have no money, like they're broke. Like a lot of these guys were talking like how they were broke. By the way, there's just... It's funny.
Eric
it's
Bischoff
funny.
Looked like someone stole his fucking ice cream in the picture. So
I would almost believe it.
I don't know.
There's a story that I'm going to tell you that has actually been like real big lately because somebody reported it to PW Insider.
Right.
Like I probably was there, but I heard this story as well. And I'll tell you, it was I'll tell you in a little bit. But then he fucking was talking, blah, blah, blah. Beefcake fucking there. I said, talking fucking shit. Who else was talking? Oh, yeah, then fucking Hogan came out. Fuck Hogan. Yeah. They fucking screwed his entrance up. He fucking came out. Like, they were fucking talking, like, ladies and gentlemen, your next guest. And he was already walking out. Like, they didn't even hit his music. He fucking just walked out. And then they're like, oh, you got to do it right. So he fucking walked to the back and they played his fucking music. So he kind of botched that. But he told a story, and that was interesting. He told a story about WrestleMania 18.
Right.
And when he wrestled The Rock. When that match was first announced, the office, the WWF office, told Hogan, they're like, we want The Rock to be our future star. So when you wrestle him, make sure he fucking controls the match. And, like, in the business, it's kind of like a no-no for the younger guy to fucking control a match with a veteran.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the office fucking insisted that they wanted this match to be The Rock's. Like, they wanted The Rock to fucking lead the match. They wanted pretty much The Rock to fucking get fucking experience. And they even fucking went so far as, like, a month before the match, they wanted Hogan and The Rock to meet up in Miami to fucking train for the match. Like, actually fucking work the match out and plan the match.
Right.
So they fucking get there, and Rocky Johnson was there. And the fucking office was there. Some people in the office. And they started planning, and Rocky Johnson fucking got real pissed. He fucking started yelling. He's like, this is horse shit. He's like, what the fuck, Rock? You fucking have no business fucking controlling a match with Hogan. And Rock, and I fucking, the office, like, nah, like, let fucking Rocky. He goes, no, that's bullshit. In my days, if somebody pulled that bullshit, they get their fucking ass beat. He goes, Rock, you need to listen to Hogan and let him fucking do what you, let him do what he needs to do. You fucking need to learn how to respect your elders. And Rock's like, oh, well, whatever. And Rocky Johnson goes, no, you're going to do this shit. So he fucking got real pissed at him. And then basically the match came off well. But fucking The Rock fucking apologized right after because he fucking booked the match and planned the match as if he would have been the face. But if you remember WrestleMania 18, like, The Rock was supposed to be the face, but Hogan
right.
was the face because it was Toronto. And Toronto, Ontario, like, in Canada, has always been Hogan fan. Like, even, like, when he, like, the next night when they fucking did the whole thing in Montreal, that's why he got a 20-minute fucking ovation when he came out after he fucking wrestled The Rock that day. He was heel, but he got a 20-minute ovation because Canada always loves Hogan. Like, he can be a fucking asshole in Canada and say, fuck you, you know, fuck your family, and they'll still love him. You know what I mean? Like, he fucking can't do no wrong in there. And, like, if they would have went with Rock's way of, you know, the match would have been a complete bomb. It would have bombed. And it would have killed the whole everything.
Right.
But, you know. And another thing I heard, and I was like, wow. Apparently, like, when Hogan won the championship at WrestleMania 3 from Sheik, or not Sheik,
right.
No, whenever he won the belt from Sheik, it was, I don't even know why I said WrestleMania, but when he won the belt from Sheik, Bob Backlund pushed for that shit, for him to fucking beat Sheik. And Hogan fucking burned bridges with AWA to come to WWF, and he fucking said, if you don't put the belt on me, like, they pretty much told him, yo, leave this territory and come to WWF, and, you know, give you the belt and shit like that. But he burned bridges and shit like that. He said, told the office, he's like, if I'm not winning the belt, I'll fix those bridges up and go to AWA and never come back.
Right.
And they're like, oh, they changed the finish. They're like, okay, you're going to go over. Pretty much, if they would have let Hogan go, WWF would never succeeded at what they did. You would probably never be talking about WWF.
Well, Hogan takes a real pleasure in making himself look as if he created the WWF, and that, like, he coached Vince McMahon through how to book a wrestling company and honestly, I think that's egotistical bullshit. I don't think for one second that Hogan did. He influenced and he helped to jumpstart the business. he brought a lot of attention to himself with the Hulkamania thing and brought a lot of attention to wrestling. But do I think that that was the only man in the fucking universe that could have done that? No,
but I think it's
no way.
I think it helped hugely. If you think about it, like, that's fucking
he's gotten
what,
too much credit. How much did he fucking improve TNA's ratings since he got there?
Oh, they're horrible.
They were, I think, a 1.2 before he got there, and then, like, last week, I believe they pulled a 1.2. So that just shows you that, like, clearly his name isn't as big as it is to himself. His name is enormous, but it's still not packing buildings,
Well, you know what? I'm sorry to cut you off there, but you know what it is? People have to realize something, and this company has to realize something. TNA. They built this Fed around, like, their fans are incredibly young. When I went to that thing, there was a lot of old people.
Hogan, Bischoff.
No, like, fan-wise. I didn't see, like, teenagers at this thing. I think I seen, like, one or two, and it was probably, like, being there with, like, an older person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
Like, TNA fucking markets the company. Like, you know, they have a lot of young fans. Like, the younger generation watches them. But yet they bring in all the old fucking people. Like, who the fuck does that? Like, Hogan and Bischoff and fucking all of those guys should not be in TNA. TNA should have young, up-and-coming stars. It should be filled with young up-and-comers. You know what I mean? Let those fucking washed-up has-beens wrestle on these fucking independent circuits and fucking do the autograph signings. They need to fucking pass the torches on and fucking, you know, just fucking, you know. Once you can't cut it anymore, and you're basically depending on fucking politicking and kissing ass to get into a company. That's not the way to go. Like,
I don't know if you've heard too. We could hope there is a turnaround. However, recently they've changed their booker. Vince Russo is no longer who books. The new, booker in there is Bruce Pritchard, who is Brother Love.
Okay.
If you remember Brother Love back in the day.
Huge kiss ass.
Bright red face and all of that stuff.
Right.
But that dude, he's the new booker. So hopefully we will see a change in things. I know I'm seeing a lot of things on my TV. I really need to actually, like, download this show 1 week or, like, get it on YouTube and, like, just listen to the audio, because every week I see this shit on mute. And I don't know who half of these people are. Like, there's a chick in the fake LAX group, with the fake Chavo and Hernandez and all that stuff, and she's got, like, panties on her face every week, like studded panties on her face. That's at least what it looks like. It's supposed to be some kind of mask, but it looks like a pair of drawers or something on her face. And then, like, they were just fighting Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore. And
okay.
I mean, these guys are just in like who can have a taller mohawk competition. Somehow, like, the mohawk never gets messed up, which shows you how hard they're working in the ring, because, like, I don't know what kind of glue or what kind of shit they're using in their hair, but, like, this shit is, like, straight up in the air, and then they got a chick in there, and she's got these enormous spikes. It looks like fucking Dragon Ball Z or some shit, and, like, I can't understand, like, what's going on with this company. I know some of these people. I saw earlier, too, that, AJ Styles is now wearing pants. I feel that's awesome. I feel there should be a huge push for everyone to do that. Because I hate these people, just run around in cock socks and, do chain wrestling. It's just, just enough. Cut it out. Like, wear a fucking pair of pants. It's not that hard. Like Cody Rhodes. Like, seriously, dude. Put some fucking pants on. It's your little knees. There's no fucking, there's no knee pads, no pants. No, you just, he just looks all, I don't know, man. He just looks childlike.
There's a magazine out there. It's like the fucking Mark Street. It's Inside Wrestling and fucking The Wrestler.
Right.
Magazine. I'm pretty sure you heard it. So I have a magazine in front of me I fucking got because somebody didn't want it, but it just came out. And
They fucking wrote an article about something. By the way, real quick, I'll go right back to the Hogan thing. Because it's on my mind and I don't want to fucking lose the... They brought up something really outrageous and
okay.
I have to talk about it. So, alright. Let me get to the page.
Jesus!
Yeah. Fucking Xanax. Fucking around too much.
Xanax angry. That's all I know.
Alright, so basically... Alright, it's an article about... And they're talking about Sinclair Broadcasting, Ring of Honor. And they have a list of 10 people that Ring of Honor should have hired. So, just...
I wrote in.
Go ahead.
Well, right now I'm having a hard time finding this fucking article.
I rode into town on an ass. Yo mama's ass.
Who else did Ring of Honor hire?
No.
Here's
the list of fucking 10 people.
Oh, okay.
And it's ridiculous because you're gonna get really pissed off, right? And they have some names that are in WWE, and you know the article was written when Punk was in that fucking contract negotiation thing. But the fucking magazine is for October. I don't understand. So WWE has number one that Ring of Honor should have had. That Ring of Honor. This could be the roster. Of the top 10 guys. CM Punk, number one. Samoa Joe, number two.
Hmm.
Number three, you ready for this one?
What?
So, you ready for number three?
Yeah.
Chavo Guerrero.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
Daniel Bryan. The Motor City Machine Guns. Harry Smith. Austin Aries, Paul London, and my two fucking favorite wrestlers, aka sarcasm right there, Dean Ambrose and Johnny Gargano.
Fuck you!
So more or less, they just want to be like they used to be. And then it's like, you know, every name on there, for the most part, with a few exceptions, were guys from the heyday of Ring of Honor. So, like, if they're going to actually put out some kind of post to go, I wish we had Samoa Joe back. I wish we had CM Punk back. I wish we had this guy back. I wish we had that guy back. Like, dude, shut up. Shut the fuck up and put on wrestling shows. On a good note, on November 19th, they're putting out the, what the hell is that called? Bound for Glory, fucking Glory by Honor. Yeah, Glory by Honor. I think that's the one. Davey Richards is putting his title up against El Generico. So I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Is that live? Is that pay-per-view?
I believe so.
Wow.
I believe so. Glory by Honor.
You know what's funny? And they fucking, you know, so they have like fucking, you know, things on like everybody. So they fucking say why they picked Chavo Guerrero. And here's the fucking, here's why they wanted him in thing. He's a fucking world-class wrestler with the kind of experience and wisdom that could be invaluable to a young locker room.
Who? What?
Chavo Guerrero. They're saying that he's a world-class wrestler with the kind of experience and wisdom that could be invaluable to a younger locker room.
Ah.
Exactly.
Chavo. Oh, you gotta be kidding me, Chavo. Settle down. Settle down. I can't take it, dude. This guy is so underappreciative of what he has gotten in the business. It fucking boggles my mind to think that someone would feel that way. Like, I really don't know what more anyone can give a guy like Chavo Guerrero other than what the WWE did. I mean, if we're just going to call him some unbelievable veteran that deserved better and was always treated wrong, and there's something wrong with you.
Right. And they fucking said, why London? They said, London is a Ring of Honor alum and has also spent time in WWE, where he and Brian Kendrick became the longest reigning world tag team champions in that title's history. While Ryan is skilled in a variety of styles, London has been bouncing around the U.S. indie circuit, wrestling in Australia. Accomplished and exciting, London is only 31 and could add significant depth to Ring of Honor singles and tag team ranks.
I'm like, really? Because no, you fucking can't.
Also, they have fucking Gargano. Since being purchased by a multi-million-dollar, publicly traded media company, Ring of Honor is now officially no longer an independent promotion. That means, just as other major companies have done for years, Ring of Honor should be looking to recruit from the best talent from the indies to flesh out its roster. Gargano, a Cleveland, Ohio native, has risen to the top of Evolve and has worked some dark matches for TNA. Gargano is young, exciting, and still undiscovered by a national audience. In other words, he's exactly what Ring of Honor should be looking for. What do you think of those fucking? What do you think of that fucking shit, Paul London and Gargano?
You stop it! I will fucking take this guy out right now. You're one of the few guys I am certain I can take down.
Fucking dude, like I said, Paul London, he used to be there. People were screaming, "Please don't die," and this and that. And he was fucking great back then. He's acquired an enormous ego since. You know, they did the little shoot interview where him and his buddy got high and fucking in front of the camera, and that's cool. I'm all for that. That's great. But honestly, people have surpassed Paul London by leaps and bounds since Paul London was actually doing what he was doing. I mean, would Paul London be okay? Can he be built back to what he was before? Sure. But there's a lot of building. There's no room for you calling a guy who hasn't showed shit in 5 years a savior. There's no room for that. Like, did Ring of Honor really put this out, or is someone just saying, hey, I think Ring of Honor should do this?
No, this is fucking, like, somebody fucking was talking to our executive, and that's what they were fucking basing the 10 guys off of. Like, they actually interviewed somebody in, like, Sinclair, who fucking... Sinclair,
I don't know how much credibility that has. I think that this is a good amount of marks fucking walking around and going, we need this guy, we need that guy. This guy would be great. They should put that guy on there. I would pay him a lot of money. Like, is it your money? Like, what kind of an asshole you are? Like, I don't really get it. Like, honestly, like, if you wanted to build Ring of Honor, there's a lot of guys that would really help build Ring of Honor. I think Ring of Honor is actually doing pretty well for themselves right now, but... If you're actually going to pause and then just be like, I want Samoa Joe back. I want Bryan Danielson back. I want CM Punk. Like, they have contracts, you stupid asshole. And if you're just going to sit there and act like a fucking, like a broken soul, and you're just going to sleep outside of your ex-girlfriend's house, then there's something wrong with you. And you really need help.
Not even inside the ex-girlfriend's house, outside.
No, you're definitely sleeping in your car or in a sleeping bag outside of their window in their backyard, avoiding their dog. And, you know, that's more or less what they're doing. If anybody within the company is actually still whining, like, we would need Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, AJ Styles, we would need all the guys we used to have that are under contract right now that don't want to be here, and then we would pay them considerably less, and then we would be a better company. Like, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Oh, let's put in Dean Ambrose because, Mox, that was a good guy. We dropped the ball on that one, and now he's in the company. We want that guy, too. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Why don't they sign guys that fucking, you know, why don't they fucking look for new talent? You're gonna fucking make new talent. Do what they're fucking doing. You know?
But there's also guys out there, like I said, like G's, I think, you know, has always deserved a chance, you know, to go in there and chop it up with some of the top guys. If you can't hang, then don't use them. But I have a feeling you can, and I just, I don't know, man. Like, I think it's kind of crazy.
Black G's is fucking awesome, but I feel that his opinion on some shit is what has cost him the fucking, you know, that opportunity. You know, he's fucking incredibly talented in the ring, but his fucking mouth has fucking got him in some trouble for telling people what he feels, what he really feels. I mean, that's cool, but, you know, they don't want to hear that shit. They want to hear yes sir, no sir, you know. They don't want to hear, oh, I'm not doing that.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of I'm not doing that. I just think that, you know, when people don't give you a chance and shit, you're not going to be the nicest guy in the world about how you were treated by that person. You know what I mean? And
right, right. I
think a lot of that, you know. Nita's asking where Johnny Gargano is that he's not working ROH. He's contracted through, you know, the Evolve and Dragon Gate type thing. So, again, that's like our competition has that guy. We would do good with that guy. Like, I don't think... Do you guys really think that you look fucking good saying this type of shit? Like, it just...
You know what it is, though? If Ring of Honor wanted these guys, why didn't they sign them when they first could? Guys like Sammy, guys like fucking, you know. Like, there's only so many guys you can pay.
Right.
You can't pay everybody and have everybody in the roster. You know? Guys like Rich Swann, A.R. Fox, Sammy Callahan. You know,
yeah.
It's good for independent wrestling. There needs to be some type of fucking, there needs to be competition out there. Or
of
feds
course.
Will get lazy and feds will not give a shit. And, you know, that fucking pure example of it is when Vince bought WCW and he bought ECW.
Yeah.
And he got real lazy and didn't give two shits. Because during the Attitude Era, if you remember, that's when they were putting on the best product. As soon as they bought WCW and ECW, they didn't give a shit. They put on a fucking subpar fucking thing because there was nothing else to watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's only so much effort you're going to need to put out. So if you don't need to, that's just what happens. And obviously the fans aren't going to be happy if you don't have a lot of choice but what to do.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
So I got to get back to this Hogan thing. I kind of got off fucking track. But
right.
I got some... debauchery to talk about, which means shit, fucking shit to talk about. So, we got pictures, right? And we get it. So I brought my camera, fucking, you know, digital camera. So I didn't know nobody, you know, I thought anything was good. Everything was good. I see mad fucking people outside the building, fucking using digital cameras, taking pictures of the building. I was like, all right, cool. We take pictures. It'd be awesome. I'll have a picture up tonight. So, fucking get in there. We're about to walk in the door. They go, no digital photography for the VIP part. You can take pictures of the show, but you can't take pictures of your thing. And we're like, what? So, okay, we're like, whatever. Big-ass line. We're in the middle. Me and my buddy. Go in the fucking line. Take the picture. Fucking real quick. No autographs. Everybody brought mad shit. They're getting autographs. No autographs. They fucking said, oh, maybe autograph photo op type deal for the ticket that we bought.
Right.
So no autographs. We didn't do that shit. Then at the end of the show, they fucking, like, when everybody got their photos, they're like, they got on the intercom, they're like, all right, you know, at the end of the show, wait in line, we'll give you pictures. So we're fucking, at the end of the show, fucking, we're like, all right, fucking, the seats were mad fucking close together. So, like, you were kind of sitting on somebody else's lap. That's how the seats were set up.
Yeah.
The seats were, it was horrible. Like, there was no space in between. It was like, yeah, so that was horrible. And so we get out of line, and I'm pissed off that I didn't get my photo first. And my buddy's pissed off that he couldn't get his autographs. So they fucking go, okay, stay in line. And they fucking were waiting, and everybody that fucking didn't get the pictures fucking are leaving. And the place was it's packed with people fucking bitching. An hour later, they're like, oh, we forgot the printer that was supposed to print out these pictures fucked up. We didn't get the right printer, so we have to fucking, everybody has to write their name, their email, their fucking mailing address, their phone number, and their ticket number, because they give you a ticket, so you can see what picture, you can tell people the picture, and they print it out for you.
Right.
So everybody fucking had to write all that shit. We were there in fucking line for 2 hours, waiting. So I got home at fucking 1 o'clock in the morning, that night.
And then when you left there, you didn't even think you were going to end up getting a picture, right?
Well, I was pissed off, and it was fucking horrible. It was two fucking people up front in a table. One of them looked like Rob Feinstein going, oh, I'll try to work on it tonight, getting the pictures up. Well, they sent it to us fucking Tuesday, and the picture, I got the picture Tuesday in the email. They'll send out a print, a big print. But yeah, I was. If I didn't get the picture by the show, I was fucking getting ready to flip the fuck out on this show.
and say more explicit words than anybody has ever heard in their life. It would be like when Billy Graham said this, it kind of would, you know, be like this. It would be like Nick Gage at a fucking at a cursing contest.
Right.
Yeah,
man. So that's good. I'm glad you got your picture. Eric Bischoff couldn't be a funnier representation
of
that event.
Yeah, but I cropped everything out. If you see my fucking profile picture, I cropped everybody out, but Hogan and me. And
if you see the group photo, that's pretty fucking classic, honestly.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking classic, man. Having a, you know, Bischoff as angry as he was to be there. He just looks so pissed off. It was great. Well, anyway, I guess we'll take a break and come back, do some NFL talk, or, you know, we got some other wrestling as well. CCW, all sorts of other things. I got some other news and stuff to talk about as well. So, I guess we'll take a break now. Let me see what I want to play. I guess I'll go with that little George Carlin song.
I'm new wave, but I'm old school.
I wear power ties, I don't power lines, I take power naps, I run victory laps.
I'm new wave, but I'm old school. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, personal agenda. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever, laid back but fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long-lasting, you built to last. Supersized, size, long-lasting, built to last. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. I'm sharing, I'm healing, I'm caring, I'm feeling. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position on the long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. My revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I like rough sex, I like tough love, and my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn.
Vulgar.
Of course.
Unseemly, in poor taste, cheap language. Naughty, saucy, body, raunchy, foul, vile, lewd.
I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cock, clock, and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow, I go with flow, I ride with the tide, I got mine in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, chatting and grooving, wailing and winning. Grooving, wailing and winning. I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. I'm sharing, I'm healing, I'm caring, I'm feeling. Kanye ball ahead of the curve, on point, on task, on message, off drug. No need for coke and speed, I got no urge to binge and purge. You can't shut me up, you can't dumb me down, cause I'm tireless, and I'm wireless, I'm a formulated medical miracle. I've been free-washed, free-cooked, free-heated, free-approved, free-snacked, post-dated, freeze-dried, free-washed, post-dated, freeze-dried, free-washed, free-cooked, free-heated, free-approved, free-snacked, post-dated, freeze-dried, free-washed, free-cooked, free-heated, free-approved, free-packed. I'm new wave, but I'm old school.
I wear power ties, I don't power lines, I take power naps, I run victory laps.
I'm new wave, but I'm old school. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, personal agenda. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever, laid back with fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long-lasting, you built to last. Supersized, size, long-lasting, built to last. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. I'm sharing, I'm healing, I'm caring, I'm feeling. I'm new wave, but I'm old school. I'm new school. I'm hanging in, there ain't no doubt. And I'm hanging tough, over and out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a little George Carlin chop up. Pretty cool. I guess we'll get into the NFL. That's something we haven't done thus far. And we're going to have a talk going on there. So, let me see. Where's my motherfucking music? I just missed it. I'm so good at this radio thing. Ah. So, yeah. Well, last week, we had quite a week. I actually personally had my worst week in picks. Ended up with 6 wins, which is really, you know, I mean, isn't as bad as Eric has done some weeks, but, you know, still bad. Wasn't 4, but it was, you know, pretty bad. Eric ended up with 7 wins last week, which brought our scores to, we are now, I have 42 wins. Eric has 34 wins, so still trailing, but catching up 1 win at a time is Eric. Obviously, you know, something I always have to keep bringing up is the fact that my Niners are pretty badass. It's something that's just impossible to deny. I mean, at this point, we just beat the living shit out of another team that was Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, and then, I don't know, man. After the day, all I could think about
San
was...
San Francisco.
you know, and, that how's that dream team doing over there?
Fuck that bullshit, but I got a victory that this week.
Oh. It wasn't the Eagles. Well, oh, yeah, you got a victory out of that because you bet against them. That's great. I wish Juan was around to celebrate this with us.
I hope so. I hope he comes in later.
Yeah. Oh, he's such a big fan of you. You know,
he'll be a big fan this week. He'll be a big fan of me this week.
Yeah. Well, you know, fair weather fans. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he likes this. But yeah,
he'll
man.
He'll be surprised this week.
I don't know how surprising it'll be, but I mean, yeah, just to put it out there, you know, let's put it, you know, Alex Smith is 3rd ranked quarterback in the fucking league. That is fucking unbelievable to me. That is just incredible. I never thought I would say those words ever. Alex Smith is 3rd ranked quarterback in the league.
Wait, what did you just say? Did you say he was Justin what?
What?
What did you say he was Justin?
Alex Smith is 3rd ranked quarterback in the league.
No, you said something else. You said he was Justin Credible?
No, no. That's a different guy that works at the Olive Garden. No. That's
you
not
just
that
said
guy.
Justin Credible. Yeah, I'm like, that's funny.
So, oh, man, he's got a 104.1 quarterback rating. He has only thrown 1 interception all year. As opposed to Mike Vick, who's ranked actually 14. And he's got an 85.3 ranking, and he's thrown 7 interceptions. Now, the terrible thing about that is Mike Vick only threw 6 picks all year last year. And it's only 5 weeks gone.
Yeah, keep reminding me.
He's thrown 7.
Yeah.
Thrown 7. I mean,
how was your team last year?
So, and then another thing is this week, Patrick Willis is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And he had 18 tackles and 1 fumble recovery. So, pretty impressive by Mr. Willis. And, like I said, we trounced them Bucks 48-3. 48-3. I mean, that's... Man, that's putting points up. And the Bucks, man, the Bucks went into the game at 3-1 like we were. We were 3-1, they were 3-1, and we put 48 points on their ass. Like that's incredible to me. I was really, really, really happy with that. So, what can you do? Anyway, back to this week. Now, hopefully, I'll have more than 6 wins, but it doesn't matter. Man, big things happening over here in San Francisco. So, well, even though I'm not in San Francisco, but either way, it's still all about
San Francisco.
That's right. First game up, we got the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons, with the Falcons favored by 4.5 points. Who do you got?
I got Atlanta.
All right. I got Carolina. Carolina has been evading wins, even though they've been putting up, you know, a couple hundred yards on offense easily. Like, Cam Newton is a beast, and I really think, like, he's really due. I mean, this is probably going to be one of your better teams for next year, but they keep trying to turn that corner, and they're coming really close. Every game, they're out there battling and scrapping, and they're not coming up on the winning side of things. Atlanta, they're a good team. I don't really know if they're that team this year, especially when you're, you know, I mean, you got to deal with Green Bay. You got to deal with, like, a lot of those guys over there. You know, not within the division, but still. I don't know. I'll go with Carolina on that one. Next up, you got the Indianapolis Colts facing the Cincinnati Bengals, with the Bengals favored by 7.5 points. And I think I'm going to have to go with Indy on that one.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
All right. Not sure if Cincinnati's high-powered enough for that. I mean, Indy really isn't a great team this year, but they've stayed kind of scrappy, and I don't know if Cincinnati's just going to clear blow them out. We'll see. Next up is obviously the one I got my eyes on, and that is
San Francisco
against the Detroit Lions, the undefeated 5-0 Detroit Lions. And Detroit's favored by 5.5 points. Who do you got?
Got San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. And, of course, I have San Francisco as well. I just got to hope my team keeps rolling. And Detroit's undefeated, but you never know, man. We got pretty badass team going for us, and we'll just see if we can keep that ball rolling. Next up, we got the St. Louis Rams at the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers are favored by 14.5 points. And I'm going to go with Green Bay and the blowout on this one.
I'm going to go with St. Louis.
All right. Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills, the coming off of a fresh win Buffalo Bills against the New York Football Giants, and the Giants are favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
The Giants.
And I got Buffalo. They looked good in that game last week, didn't they, Eric?
Fuck that.
I got Buffalo. Next up, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Steelers favored by 12.5 points. And I got Pittsburgh.
I got San Francisco. No, I got Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So you motherfuckers start rooting for us to win other games we ain't even playing. That's how it's going. we doing that well. Next up, you got the Philadelphia Eagles, the hard-time Philadelphia Eagles. It's not easy being Green Eagles against the Washington Redskins, with the Skins favored by 1.5 points. Who do you got?
I got Philly this week.
Well, I got Philly as well. I think they're about due. They've lost, I don't know, what is it now? Four games in a row, yeah. They're pretty brutal. But I think Washington isn't that great. I think they should be able to strike back.
Juan Rivera, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. Juan Rivera, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Well, and then when you lose, you could tell that you're definitely jinxing them. next up, we have the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens are favored by 6.5 points. What do you got?
I got Baltimore.
All right. I have Houston, and I'm hoping they're still able
to... We're picking a lot different this week.
Yes, we are. And I'm hoping that Houston is able to actually put up a game. I think Mario Williams is out. I think he, like, tore a pectoral muscle or some shit like that last week. They took him out, and then I heard, like, he wasn't coming back, you know, injury, pectoral injury and all that stuff. And that is a big blow to that team. Last week they came up short, and I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Mario Williams was out of the game. He's the general of that defense. And even though I am still picking Houston, but I'm just saying, Houston might take a tumble. A couple of these games this year that they normally would have won if Mario Williams stays out for any length of time. So,
right.
Super Mario.
He keeps that defense.
Yeah, he's a defense tough. Then you have the Cleveland Browns at the Oakland Raiders, and the Raiders are favored by 5.5 points.
Who do you got?
I got Oakland.
I got Cleveland.
Wow. All right. Fantastic. Next up, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the New England Patriots. And the Patriots are favored by 7.5 points. Who you got?
New England.
Yeah, I got New England as well. I don't think the Cowboys are that good, and Brady's due for a fucking blowout.
So. I can't wait. I hope he keeps pouring it on and pouring it on and pouring it on. I keep putting it off.
Yeah, of course.
You know who that is, right?
Do I know who that is? I don't know. I have no idea. So anyway, wait, hold on.
But I keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off.
And next up, we have the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Bucks, with the Saints favored by 4.5 points. And I got New Orleans.
I got New Orleans as well.
Of course, the Bucks got to be angry at what just happened to them last week. But
they ain't doing shit, though. They ain't doing shit.
Yeah. Next up, you have the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. And that's 3.5 points that Chicago is favored by.
The Bears.
Yeah, I got the Bears as well. So that's that. Last game of the week, we have the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets, with the Jets favored by 7.5 points.
In a critical AFC East matchup, I'm going with the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets.
Okay, well, I'm going with the Dolphins, and I'm only going to say that once. So that's what it is there. I think it's going to be a close game. Those guys always go to war. It doesn't matter if one team has no wins and the other one is undefeated. They go to war when they face each other. So that I'm basing my decision on the fact that they're giving the Jets a 7.5-point spread, and I feel like this will be a close game, win, lose, or draw, so I am picking Miami. So that is our football talk for the week. I don't know, man. I got a lot of things going through my mind with the Niners looking the way they're looking. And, every week I just keep looking ahead and just thinking.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I can hope he wins the game.
Huh? What?
No, I said, I hope he wins a game.
Yeah. It's looking good for us right now, and I just hope we're able to keep that ball rolling.
You play to win the game. You play to win the game.
All right.
Denny Green.
What was that?
So that was Dennis Green.
Oh, okay. Herman Edwards?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, man.
Wait, come on. I'm tired. I'm getting tired over here.
Shit
comes out of my mouth, but it's not. Doesn't supposed to. Hold on.
The what?
All right.
Oh, what the hell just happened? What?
I had to plug my phone in.
Oh, okay, great. We'll probably take another break. I don't know.
No break. We don't need a break.
Why don't we need a break?
Because you don't need a break. You are young.
I'm young. No. I need lots of breaks when you hit this age. So let me see what I got here.
Why don't you do your old man voice, and then you do that.
No. let me see what I got. Go to break.
You know, I'm an old man.
I sound half Chinese there. That's kind of crazy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just going to play this. Have a little tribute to myself, more or less, and, you know, people who know me know what I'm doing. But I'll just play this song, and then we'll come back, and we'll do some more wrestling stuff, and we'll wrap it up.
Mic check. I can get smooth to any groove. Relax the tongue. Let my mic take a cruise around the planet. Packing men like Janet Jackson. She's asking if I can slam it.
Yo, Rat Man, man, what the fuck, man? Get the fuck off that punk smooth shit, man. Get with that rough shit, man. You know how we do.
Mic check. I walk around the street with the black tech now by the waistline, picking our hype shit. I never claimed to be the best type of rapper, but have to show the motherfuckers what I'm after. I'm after the gold, then after that the platinum. See faster that hurricane, she packs the gas, son. Chigga bang bang, yo bust the slang with my name. It's the red man on the funk thing. Psych your motherfucking right tonight. To do what I wanna do, to do it like dynamite. The one perfected, when the funk been ejected. I roughen up the rough draft to like make your head split. Pass the 40 in the blunt and don't front on the blunt. Cause when you do front, brother, you get the start. I'm not an addict, more like Puff the Magic. The pass it when I'm through, cause my crew
got to have it.
I don't claim to be a big rap star, cause no matter who you are, you still catch a bullet star. So listen up and take heed to what I'm saying, cause tonight's the night, and me and my niggas ain't playing. You wanna see me get cool, please, save it for the breeze, cause the lyrics and tracks make me funky like cottage cheese. Fuck the smooth shit, I get down with the boom bip like you tip, I kick more styles than blue shoes. But tonight, what I write tonight, this type of funk with the flavor like Mike tonight. Hanging out with my niggas, Miss Duposse, hit they fingers on the triggers. I keep the 40 between my lap coolin', rolling down the highway. Drop system pumped cause it's Friday. Roll over to pick my boys up. We raise a lot of noise cause we can do that, black. To get the Bozak, that's the number. I do the type of evil that men do. Like cursing out my window at a bitch in the French too. So turn the volume up a notch and watch the boom. Boom, make your speakers pop. That's the funk when it pumps, it makes you bump. Jump, 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 jump. But if you wanna see a fly but frantic, romantic, more slicker than my man Rick, you better text the yellow pages under smooth shit, cause red ain't down for the bullshit. Niggas fucked up by letting me make an album.
I'll come
to get on the mic and let my fucking style run. Popular demand, I expand my hand to the mic and let my mouth hit the flim flam. I get sex, I get wrecked, I puff mad blunt. I get vexed, I break necks, but I go blunt. Yo, fuck it, yo, turn this shit off, man.
Yeah, man. So we're back. Just want to add, I think at this point, Kurt Angle just looks like a soccer coach. I don't know. Something about him just strikes me as a soccer coach at this point. I don't see a
Where's
lot of.
Where's the soccer mom at? Where's the soccer mom at?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Where's the hot soccer mom?
Well, you know, that's just the way I see things. The guy's looking sad. I don't really know what the deal is with him. His face looks kind of mad and stuff, and you know, he gets those kind of angry eyes and stuff like that. But otherwise, he just looks like a normal dude. Like completely
normal. He must
normal.
Be listening to Yakuza Kick Radio right now, because you know, I heard he's a big fan of Yakuza. He likes Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh.
I heard John Cena likes Yakuza Kick Radio, and he had a
He likes that show. He loves the show.
Huh. Well, anyway, CZW had their show this past Friday. I did not attend. But
a Friday show, by the way. It was a
right.
Friday show. Who the fuck schedules a Friday show? I'm wondering attendance-wise how it was with attendance.
I don't know, because I wasn't one of them.
Maybe 50 people.
Not sure. What I do know, a few things, just, you know, kind of like more or less reading the results type-wise. Yeah, Mr. Toyfiga beat Kid Osborne. I guess this is another one of those, you know, Drew Gulak trying to build his stable and stuff like that, and then, you know, big guys squashes the little guys and all that stuff. Well, outside of that, you had Jake and Dave Crist. Well, it was Jake with Dave Crist actually retained the CZW Wired TV title against the Latin Dragon. Azrael and Bandito Jr. beat the set, and that was, you know, these guys are number one contenders, and then they just wanted to fight other people just because, and, you know, that's what they did. Yeah, Ruckus beat Ryan Slater. Alex Colon beat Joe Gacy, so good night for the Blackout. You had Dave Crist with Jake Crist debuting to defeat Dustin Reyes. Looking forward to seeing that guy in a CZW ring in November, so I'm glad they finally debuted that guy, and should be good. They're actually, I've heard too, that they're kind of showing signs of dissension between Jake and Dave Crist, and I kind of expected that. Again, I kind of really hoped that they would have like a good tag team run together before they turned on each other or anything, but
right.
Now I guess we're going to get what we're going to get. But yeah, Greg Excellent and Sammy Callahan beat DJ Hyde and Adam Cole, which the stipulation would say that if Greg and Sammy won, Sammy gets junior heavyweight title shot next month at Adam Cole in the CZW Arena show in November. So that's what's going to happen. And Greg Excellent gets DJ Hyde at Cage of Death. So that's going to happen. Billy's Most Wanted came out with an open challenge, and they were met with Ryan McBride and Derek Frazier. And then I guess at some point in the match, Derek Frazier attacked Ryan McBride, and that was the end of that. And afterwards, he actually challenged, Derek Frazier challenged Drew Blood to a match at Cage of Death to come out of his retirement and fight him at Cage of Death. So we may see that in the future as well. Devin Moore retained his CZW World Heavyweight Championship against A.R. Fox, and match that I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing once the DVD comes out, and you know, we'll go from there. I'll get into how I felt about the match and what it looked like, and Brain Damage returned, and he faced the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and he beat Matt in a Swinging for the Fences match, and apparently, sometime after the match, it was announced that Matt Tremont will be facing off with Danny Havoc at Cage of Death, and a match that I'm very much looking forward to. And
wait, he's wrestling Danny Havoc at Cage of Death?
Matt Tremont, yes, he's wrestling Danny Havoc at Cage of Death. So that's pretty cool. Guess we'll see how that goes, all of that.
They're good friends, you know.
Okay. But yeah, they got that stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on in November, man. They're running that double shout out in where the fuck? Indiana. And they got that
November
going on. November 5th. They're running a double header out there. DJ Hyde's finally gonna get his hands on Sammy Callahan. He's supposed to go 1-on-1. Originally, they had slated it as a no-rope barbed wire match, and I think that has been changed because now they're just listing it as a one-on-one matchup. And you will have Barbed Wire Madness will be a four-way match between Masada, Danny Havoc, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and the Necro Butcher. So you have a pretty big matchup right there. And
That might be why they changed it.
Right. I believe it's that afternoon show that you will have the Insanity Pro Wrestling show, and you will have a Steel Cage Fans Bring the Weapons match with the return of Scotty Vortex taking on our next week's guest, the Golden Boy, Drake Younger. So some very, very big things going on there. You know, you got the doubleheader is going to be pretty, pretty big in November because you got Dragon Gate USA coming in for the afternoon show with their tremendous, tremendous talent. And, you know, they're going to do their thing out there. This is their first time actually teaming up with CZW. So they're going to do the big doubleheader with CZW. Let me see exactly what we're talking about, because they have a show on the 11th as well. I forget where they're wrestling there. But
Massachusetts or something.
Right. Sabu will be there as well.
At the Dragon Gate show in Philly?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Sabu will be there. He has been facing off with the Dirty Ugly Fucks on a regular basis, so we'll see if Pinky will be there. And he will.
What the fuck are they using Sabu? What the fuck does he have to do?
Well, he actually teamed up with AR Fox to fight Pinky and Eric Cannon. Yeah. Well, they got Yamato facing Chuck Taylor. They have Seema and Ricochet defending the titles against Sami Callihan and Eric Cannon of the DUF. And you also have Johnny Gargano versus BXB Hulk. You got Rich Swann versus Tozawa. Like I said, Sabu in the building, Pac and Yoshino, Brody Lee, Pinky, AR Fox, John Davis. I mean, you got tremendous talent up and down that card. And then, you know, Night of Infamy, one match you can rely on is definitely Adam Cole versus Sami Callihan. And you really, really got to worry about what's going to happen with Adam Cole on that one. Yeah.
He also got to worry about who the fuck is Devin wrestling.
Well, we'll have to see as that comes about. There's big shit going on, man. They got a lot of talented stuff. You know, big names coming into the CZW arena, and two really, really big months to check out CZW for sure if you haven't before, and that is November and December. Two huge doubleheaders, talent coming from all over the place, all sorts of countries, from Japan to Germany to everywhere else, and man, I'm looking forward to it. I will be on hand. I missed CZW this month, and
I'll be
fired
attending
up.
One of the shows for November, both of the shows in December.
Right. Okay.
You might see me at Dragon Gate.
Right. All right.
CZW show. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
See me at one of those shows, though.
All right. Well, we'll see what goes on there. What else do we got? Oh, I want to real quick go over this. It has nothing to do with wrestling, but okay, this is what happens. Give me a show, I do what I want. So, I've gotten into pumpkin beers lately. So.
Oh, boy.
I've tried six of them, and I figured I would just quick give my reviews on what I feel is the best pumpkin beer out there. I think the best, hands down, is Weyerbacher Imperial Pumpkin Ale. Banging. It's banging, and it's actually 8% alcohol by volume, so that's about double your normal light beers and stuff like that, just so you know. And pretty severe. It tastes just delicious, though. Comes in 4-packs and, you know, that type of thing. Really good. Second to that, I would say the Smutty Nose Brewing Company makes their pumpkin. That's really good. And third up, I would say Post Road with their pumpkin ale. Give the, whatever they want, what do they call that shit? The honorable mention. Yeah, there it is. To the Tommyknocker Small Patch Pumpkin Harvest Ale. That's pretty good stuff. The bottom of the list I would give to Samuel Adams, even though I'm a big Samuel Adams fan. Their Harvest Pumpkin is kind of, it's more or less just like a hint of pumpkin. It's just like a little bit. It's not like a real pumpkin-y beer. So it's pretty good, you know. Samuel Adams isn't a terrible beer no matter what flavor you take. And that's not bad, but not the best pumpkin beer. And the worst one that I've had is the Blue Moon Pumpkin Ale. It just feels like real beat, like compared to everything else. So that's my quick little rundown on that. I got a few suggestions from Lane, from Insane Lane as well. I haven't been able to find the ones that he suggested, but I'll keep my search going. So,
see, I know Lane's fucking big into that shit, reviewing beers.
He's tasted several hundred beers. I mean, that guy, he's a connoisseur. Yep. So, what else do we got? We got TNA's CM Punk ripoff and Jeff Jarrett in the ring. And, TNA's CM Punk ripoff, that Gunner guy.
Why do you say that?
He just strikes me as that type of character.
Oh.
He's got the same type of look, you know. CM Punk's hair is getting a little longer now, but, like, before CM Punk got his hair, he very close resemblance to this fucking guy. And
Well, WWE has their fucking Robbie E fucking ripoff and Zack Ryder. So.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not a fan of either one of those, honestly. It's just very, very stomach-turning. When you live in this area, it's not that cute. Get kind of like really, really against that whole Jersey Shore thing. I can't do it. But yeah, man. And they got Robert Roode and who else they got out there? I don't fucking know. So what else we got?
Pretty much all out. Fucking the CZW show would have reviewed it, it would have went a little longer. I don't know.
Right.
I think.
Right. Yeah, I can't review a show I haven't actually seen. So you know.
Well, you could be like, "Fuck the show," and then they'll be like, "Oh, what did you not like about the show?"
Huh.
You know what's funny? Larry or nobody from CZW's in the chat room tonight.
They knew I wasn't there. They're all disgruntled.
They're probably looking around. They're probably like, "Where is J-Cat? I want to know." Like when Alfredo said that shit. "Where is J-Cat? I want to know where he's at." I'm like, "What are you fucking watching him? The fuck, his fucking babysitter? Jesus Christ, Fredo."
Jesus!
Yeah. It's my fault.
Even Zandig doesn't like that.
No. You want to bring Reggie on a little bit? For a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. Let me see if I can get him on here. I don't know. It's been a while.
I seen him on earlier. I think he's listening or something.
What's up? It's Reggie here.
Oh, it's Reggie. All right. Look at this. What's going on, what are you doing tonight? What's even going on with you?
Your company that comes on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so you're tuning in. That's cool. Eric, I mean, it's been a while. You want to talk to this guy? I mean, what's, you know.
Yeah, Reggie, what have you been doing lately?
People still think I'm black, and it makes me sick.
Wow. Oh, that's great. How do you feel about that?
I'm not black.
Reggie, clearly you are black. It's not a racial thing. It's just you're black, Reggie.
You call me a retard?
No, calm down, Reggie. Reggie, come on. All right, Jay, you gotta ask him a question. I'm getting fired up. He's getting fired up at me.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's crazy. Every time we get you on, you start talking about your race and everything like that, and I don't even know where you're coming from with that.
I really, really don't want to be a Negro no more.
All right, Reggie, enough with this. I mean, you know, what else have you been doing, dude? I mean, if it's, I got nothing on that topic, man. What else you been up to?
I traveled across the country having sex with men, women, dogs, cats, rabbits, everything.
Oh, man. That's incredible. I mean, Eric,
and your parents allow that? I mean, they won't even allow you to do a fucking backyard wrestling fucking radio show.
Someone threw a brick through our kitchen window, and some guys attacked my brother.
Oh, that must be why.
That's terrible, dude. I mean, is there anything you do to like try to like combat this, or you know, just at least try to stick up for yourself?
He's going to freaking beat you up. This guy named Reggie.
Well, you know.
He ain't beating Jay Cat up. I'm telling you that right now. He ain't beat him up.
I mean, you never know, dude. I'm definitely not trying to fight anybody. That's not something I'm looking to do. You know, I'm not down.
You're a coward, and you're acting like a jerk. You're a coward.
No, not really, dude. I'm just not looking for any trouble. That's all. You know. Eric, you got any more questions for this guy?
Who sent you here?
Yeah,
DJ Hyde and stuff. He gave me permission.
Oh, okay.
That's fucking badass. Yeah, I bet.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't even understand.
Do you have any advice for anybody out there?
I cut a part of my penis off to make it smaller.
You had nothing to begin with.
The hooker is already happy.
Wow, dude. That's unbelievable. You seem to get really just fired up about stuff, and I don't even know what drives you.
I have to have sex with a teddy bear.
Damn. I mean, when was the last time that you actually said anything normal?
I can't remember.
I can't either, dude. It's crazy. I mean, there's got to be some better things that you think, you know, during the night, like you sitting there hanging out. You got to think of something better than that.
I'd rather be dead.
That's definitely worse. I don't know.
God, I'm embarrassed.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
No, this is ridiculous. You cut your penis off? What's next? What?
The kids at school piss in my food, throw weight loss books at me, and take a crap in my book bag.
Wow. How do you even react to that? Like, what do you do when all of this crazy stuff happens? Yeah, that's terrible, Reggie.
I ended up smoking crack and snorting heroin, cut with gunpowder.
Oh, man. That's crazy. I mean, you got to stop that shit, Reggie. You really got to stop it, you know?
You ain't going to stop me.
All right, dude. I mean, there's only so much I could do. Well, you know, we've been trying to get you on for a while, and I mean, I don't know what's been going on. But
I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off.
Right. Yeah, you sure have. When you were putting it off, what were you doing instead of calling in?
Prostitutes.
Well, man, it's too much. It's too much. Yeah, you got anything else for this guy? Because I'm about to let him off the air. Eric,
hang up on that fucker. He likes to blab too much.
Yeah, he kind of does, and you know, so I always try to give him a chance, and you know, give him a, you know, any last words you got, Reggie?
I'm about to slice and dice a bitch.
Okay, well, don't do any of that, dude. Let me, just give us a shout out, and we'll see you later.
Your company that comes on Thursday nights at 9:00.
Yeah, that's the one, right? Well, we'll talk to you later. All right, man? All right. We'll talk to you then.
Yes!
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was Reggie again. You know, he's always something. It's always something with that guy. A little rough to deal with, but, I mean, what can you do? So, yeah, man. I guess I could just go on again and say that, next week, we have the Golden Boy Drake Younger on. We will be, you know, having quite a conversation with him. Everybody go check out his DVD, smartmarkvideo.com. While you're over there, check out the Justice Payne DVD. If you need a little preamble to that, you want to lead into that and see, you know, what he's all up to and everything like that. We got our 2.5-hour interview we did in November. You could check that out right there on iTunes.
That's what I'll be doing. As soon as we get off the air, I'll be going back and listening to that.
Right. You know, you got a lot of good things going on over there. Joker's got a DVD on Smart Mark. you know, anyway, definitely check us out next week. A big shout out to my boys over at the Wrestling Soup. Unfortunately, they're not doing a show this week. Mitch is feeling under the weather, and Joey had plans. So check them guys out next week after you check us out. You know, don't, you know.
Well, go ahead and you know, if you want to just sit around, go back and listen to our many archive shows. Listen to our very first show with Johnny Cashmere and Matt Walsh. Listen to last week's show with an appearance by the Golden Boy Drake Younger. You'd be definitely you'd be glad you did.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much all we got, I think. Gonna more or less close it out. Check us out 9 p.m. Eastern Time next Thursday. Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God.
But you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're